Support for Fresno Land comes from the San Joaquin Valley Housing Collaborative, hosting a 2-day summit September 10th and 11th in downtown Fresno. Featuring keynote speaker Dr. Manuel Pastor, the summit will unite community organizations, developers, and residents to discuss affordable housing solutions. Learn more and register at sjvhc.org.
Welcome to Fresno Landia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom.
On today's podcast, we are joined by a good friend of mine, Lois Henry, who is the founder of SJV Water, San Joaquin Valley Water, which is a nonprofit newsroom that is focused on all things water in the valley. Before founding SJV Water, Lois was a longtime editor and columnist at the Bakersfield Californian. Jordan, certainly, as a former Bakersfield resident, grew up reading Lois. I read a lot of Lois, too. She is a local journalism legend, and we're really happy to have her. So welcome to the podcast, Lois.
Thank you for making me feel old.
You're not old.
Oh, yes, I am. Yes,
I'm just young.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're just like, what are you, 12?
I'm
They just let you out of
17.
Bakersfield?
Yeah,
This is
no, I'm
great.
going to get my diploma in 9 months.
This is exciting.
So we have Lois here to talk about a story that we published at Fresno Land this last week on a really interesting topic. So a little bit of backstory on this. A few weeks ago, one of our reporters at Fresno Land, Greg Weaver, shared a story with me that he saw in Forbes. And it was, I think the headline was called, "Can AI Data Centers Save High-Speed Rail?" And if you're following High Speed Rail, you know that the project has a myriad of problems. Many of them are financial in nature. The Trump administration just said they're going to pull $4 billion from the project. And the authority basically has to find other ways to pay for the project besides going to the feds. So the new person in charge, his name is Ian Chaudhry. He's been looking at public-private partnerships, and he happened to tell Forbes a few weeks ago that they're really interested in using the land that they have to put AI data centers on them to help finance the project. And he's already gotten a lot of investors reaching out and saying, hey, can we plug into your solar grid and put AI data centers in the Fresno area? So we did a little story about this. I reached out to the authority to just learn more about their plans about putting AI data centers in Fresno. Not a lot of detail. It's pretty speculative at this point. It's an idea in a business plan. The mayor didn't have anything to say about it. Our assembly members didn't really have much to say about it. So just to say, it's really speculative. And one of the big reasons, Lois, that we want to talk to you about this is because there's been a lot of research that shows that AI data centers in particular are a major water user. There was some research out of the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab that found that AI data centers consume around 1 to 5 million gallons of water a day, which we can translate to acre feet because I know that's more of your language. And just for our listeners, acre feet is more of the metric that water people use, not gallons. So that's about 5,500 acre feet a year. So can you put this into perspective for us, Lois? Like, how much water really is 5,500?
And that's a big spectrum, 1 million to 5 million. That's a huge range.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lois, can you explain what's going on here?
Yeah, I read the story. Thank you very much for doing that story. It's really interesting, these AI data centers. I'm not sure how I feel about AI, number one, but that's completely different.
We'll shove our thoughts about AI for a second.
Yeah, let's just talk about it. I think I always heard that they were big water users. And then when I read your story, Donnie, I looked up, okay, they're saying everything in gallons. And of course, it sounds significant, 5 million gallons. And I don't know whether they do this because it brings it into the every person's ability to conceptualize what a gallon of milk looks like, you know, how much a gallon of gas costs. So let's put this in gallons. But the way that you really measure water, especially in the valley, is in acre feet. And there's 326,000 gallons in an acre foot. And so when I did the math and looked at it, I was like, oh, 5,500 acre feet a year for that's a 5 million gallon. Let's just go at the very end of the spectrum, 5 million gallons, the highest end. 5,500 acre feet a year is not nothing. If I had 5,500 acre feet a year to sell, I would be super rich and I wouldn't be on this podcast. So it's not nothing, but it probably Stuart Resnick and John Vidovich and Boswell wouldn't miss that out of their couch cushions, is when you put it in perspective of this stuff. So agriculture uses so much water. It's just 5,500 acre feet a year That's a number that I thought, that's an easy kind of interesting potential deal for somebody like Westlands or Fresno Irrigation District or Boswell or Vitovich or any of these guys. They could take that amount of water, not miss it from their operations, and sell it for big dollars for these AI centers. So I was like, at first I thought when I read the story, I'm like, oh, this is a no-go, this massive amount of water. And then I was like, this might be an interesting deal for some of our agricultural operations to make because they're having to retire productive farmland in order to comply with the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. So they're having to retire the farmland. What do they do with the farmland? What beneficial use could be done with this farmland so that we continue to have tax base and we continue to have jobs? Interesting idea. You could put an AI data center on a half of it, fill the other half of your farmland up. Say you had 1,000 acres, fill the rest of it up with solar so that you could provide, because the bigger issue is that these AI data centers take so much power. So you could have a semi power source right there and you're selling them your groundwater credits or what have you. And you just have to, we'll talk about this in a second. So I was like, oh, this seems like this would probably be a deal. So I start asking, after you and I talked, I start asking some of my sources, what do you think about this? And most of them hadn't heard about it. And so I sent them your story. And sure enough, these water managers, farm managers, blah, 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 they start clicking with, oh, you could do this with that. Oh, you could do that. They start realizing there's a deal to be made. And one person even told me, oh, I would sell that water for at least $1,000 an acre foot. So that's like a $6 million deal for somebody out there and a way to retire farmland and still have it be productive. So I started off as a, oh, no way, forget it. This is terrible. And then I was like, oh, I could see this actually working.
That I had a
So
similar reaction, Lois. I reacted to the story just how you parse numbers. But now that you're explaining this, I mean, at what threshold, how many data centers before we're overwhelmed, I guess, in a certain sense? Because we're describing what you're talking about. We're talking about a single data center site. And so the theory is that there will be a lot of them lining the high-speed rail. So is there a point in which we're bumping up against, some of the sigma requirements where it would get precarious, or do you think at this point, given just what you're describing, it's feasible?
it's all about retiring the groundwater use elsewhere. It's just everybody always talks about housing development as being, oh no, the water. As it turns out, retiring an acre of ag land and planting an acre of houses is a wash water-wise. So in a way, if you're talking about these data centers and they're taking out almond orchards, which are 3 acre feet per acre per year, that's a wash. You know what I mean? And I don't know, these data centers would have to run probably 365 a year. You couldn't shut them down or plow them under, but you can't do that with orchards or with vineyards either. So to me, it's not. This would be a wash. And it would be potentially, I don't know how many jobs they provide.
One of the criticisms that you see when people say water used in ag, water used in housing, it's a equivalency, is one's a firm demand. Like, people need to drink their water and flush their toilets all the time, no matter what, even if there's a drought, where like you can fallow some trees, you can take out some trees if you really have to.
If
And
you
so
had to, but that's the problem. That's what's happened with the valley, though, is all of these permanent crops. It's very cavalier for us to say, since we don't have crops, oh, you could take those out if you needed to. That means you're not able to make money off of that, and you're not able to provide jobs, and you're not able to provide taxes. So the permanent crops, I think, are very equivalent to housing because you cannot plow them under like cotton or melons and plant them the next year. You just can't do it.
can you share more about the politics of the deal making around this? Yes, it's interesting to hear, like, there's potentially a lot of deals to be made, but that water is still in demand somewhere. There's plenty of communities in the valley that don't have water still, rely on bottled water deliveries, trucks, etc. And so, how do you see like the food chain of who might be able to make these deals and who is still going to not be at the top of the food chain, if you will?
The top of the food chain is the guy with the checkbook. And the guy with the checkbook is Silicon Valley at this in this scenario. And so they would be able to pay $1,000 an acre foot, probably easily, and not really even think about it. Then that water becomes committed to that and it goes away from ag or just sitting into the aquifer kind of thing. And I guess if you're looking at winners or losers, if there's competition for that water in that space, because it's a big valley, there's things are different up and down, and the hydrology is different, and the number of disadvantaged communities and where they are in relation to the water and all that kind of stuff is all different. So it all depends on where you would site this thing or things. But yeah, you could also make a deal where if there's a disadvantaged community that needs help, the guy with the big checkbook's gonna be asked to help fund whatever or share the water. You're gonna buy more water than you need, and half of that water is gonna go to the disadvantaged community. There's so many ways that these deals could be cut if there were a deal to be cut.
With Sigma in place, what are the restrictions on potential deal making in terms of I'm Fresno Irrigation District, or I'm Westlands. I have some water I want to sell because I see the financial viability of it, but this data center is being built in Tulare County. Like, how does that play into it at all?
Yes, I was just somebody I was talking to at Westlands was like, oh, we could make it. Anyway, you start thinking about these things. So, first of all, you have to understand, yes, you could easily do that. You'd have to get the permits. The water would have to be coming down some conveyance and structure like the Bryant-Kern Canal. So, you would have to get permits and work through different agencies, including Bureau of Reclamation. You'd have to get capacity in that canal. Or, more commonly, what would happen is you do it by exchange. Say Fresno Irrigation District had 5,000 acre feet to sell to this South Tulare County facility. What they would do is they would give it to some probably intermediary organization, and then that intermediary organization would move the water. I like to think those things you used to get in Cracker Jack boxes, where it was all just a big jumble of letters and numbers, and you had to make sense. Like you had to make it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you just move those around and around till you got to. That's what water is like in California. There's always a way, even though physically you would think, oh, we're not going to be able to move this water physically from point A to point B, C, and D. Point B, C, and D also have water, and they have various conveyance, and they have deals with people, so they would just forego getting water over here in order to move it over there.
But politically, I understand physically that I understand on some level that there's like a complicated myriad of exchanges to make this work. But politically, like in front, let's just say, for instance, Westlands is like, we're going to make a deal. Westlands also has communities in its boundaries that still don't have clean drinking water. There are farmers
Into
that
a
have
creek,
pumping restrictions and are
Don't
having
live
to
near.
pay penalties for overpumping. And so, like, how do you deal with the optics of, we're a district that has some water deficits, but we're still going to sell some water
Yeah,
that we.
let me add to that. That's some of the comments I've received when I talk to people about this, is they're bringing up the kind of water equity issues. They're looking at these kind of large-scale farming operations, Silicon Valley, like dealing with these large quantity of water, while at the same time we have small rural communities that are struggling to get water. And so can you explain maybe how that picture makes sense?
I can't explain how it makes sense, but I can tell you because, yes, you would
How does it
think,
happen, is I
yeah.
guess what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, like Cantua Creek and El Porvenir, they were farm worker villages, literally. And because people didn't have any place else that they could go or be allowed to go in terms of being within a city that has infrastructure. And so they made these camps that then turned into towns that have then dealt with the situation that they deal with. They don't have any decent groundwater in those areas, which is over in the Westlands area. So, yes, there are, and there's myriad ones like that. There's Teveston and there's Oakey, can't remember what it's called now all of a sudden, but they're in Tulare County and they're over in Western Fresno County and they're in Kern. They're everywhere, these little poor communities that don't have decent water. But this is how it would work, I think. If you were Westlands and you say made this deal, you would say, I'm getting $6 million potentially out of this deal, and I'm retiring farmland that is sucking water up out of this area. And they could do it without doing groundwater. They could move some of their surface water to an AI data center. They could exchange groundwater credits. They could then say, oh, it's not just $1,000 an acre foot that we want from you, it's $1,500 an acre foot, and we're going to use that $500 an acre foot to enhance water at these disadvantaged communities, kind of thing. When you say, how's it going to look politically for these districts? I think there's lots of different ways that they could make this money if they were to make this deal pay for far more than just the water. They could use that money to do all kinds of stuff. Now, if we look at, say, Stuart Resnick, John Bidovich, J.G. Boswell, they're private individuals, but they own a lot of water. They own a lot of ground. So they own a lot of groundwater credits, but they also own a lot of surface water that they can do and have done whatever they want with it and they're not under any various obligations whatsoever to,
They
you know,
just
the public.
no, and they all they need to do is make sure that their own land within their own groundwater districts is meeting that
Right.
requirements. And as long as they meet those requirements, it doesn't matter what they do with any extra water they might have.
Yeah. The better case scenario in a situation like this, if it were to happen, is if it were to be made, if a deal were to be made through a district, because that's public. The public has more oversight. The public can make more demands on that kind of thing. And they have a larger interest in not appearing to be complete Simon Legrees.
Interesting.
Oh, I forgot to mention Homer too. Homer could be.
Can you tell everyone who Homer is?
Wish I had more information about Homer. Homer is one of the biggest private water brokers you never heard of. They're everywhere and they're doing deals all the time and they are completely and utterly private. And they have
That
multiple names. They have a different LLC for every day of the week. They're Homer, Renewable Resources, Renew, RENU, Atlas. They were Western Water for a while. They're just like everywhere.
That's like probably a whole other discussion in how our water got became so privatized, like why it's not in the hand. Because I think that's just, I understand everything what you're saying. I know enough about water to be dangerous, but I think for a lot of people, there's this conceptual, it's just like cognitive dissonance. We're a region that has some of the most water stressed places imaginable, plenty of people without drinking water. But then there's all, it's like if you have a checkbook, you can get it, like you can make it work. And even though we have all of these groundwater frameworks, and I saw you guys had a story at SJV Water recently about how Fresno County owners are about to have to start registering their pumps and telling the state how much water they're pumping. So everyone has to play by these rules. But if you have enough money, you can move it.
Isn't
Okay. Just so we're clear.
that the case of life? Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
true.
So one of the things that I looked at before this discussion was looking at alternatives to using water to cool these data centers, because that's the primary function of the water. And there's a lot of data centers in both Arizona and Oregon that rely on electrified ways of cooling things where the stress gets put on the grid. Am I wrong to take away from this conversation that water is the better route for if this is going to happen, if there's an inevitability here, that water is the area we should stress and not the electrical grid in California?
I don't know about that because I was just focusing on the water side because
Yeah.
that's my jam. But I would say that any extra stress on this grid where we're already having blackouts, if we have too hot of a summer, is I don't know how you're going to add that much demand to that fragile of a system. And if there's a resource that can be used and is willing to be sold, then I can imagine that being more of a making more of a deal than adding power. Although arguably the whole water thing is, like I said, a lot of the land that's productive now is going to be fallowed under the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and a lot of that is going into solar. Westlands is just putting in hundreds of square miles, I think, of solar to retire its land. And the part of the problem there is that it's a bottleneck to get that powered down to usually it's Southern California, and there's just a bottleneck trying to get it attached to the grid. So yeah, this seems smarter or more convenient maybe to do what I said is here's your data center on 1,000 acres. Now, you know, we're going to retire 500 and use the groundwater for that, and then on the other 500 we're going to put solar and plug it in. Of course, you know, you still need power during the night and stuff like that.
Do you think there will be a world where cities potentially get into the water sale business to reap some economic benefits of the AI data centers?
Bakersfield already sells water, so not even to AI, but yeah.
Who do they sell water to?
They sell water to a variety of different agricultural districts and stuff. It's not always the same thing, and it's not like a set amount or anything a year. It depends on the hydrology of the Kern River because the Bakersfield owns a portion of the Kern River. The thing is with water is if an entity owns it, city, district, me, if anyone wants to, like, I don't know, bequeath it to me, there are sales. Just it is what it is. I don't know of any organization that owns water rights or owns water that doesn't engage in some form of sale or exchange.
I'm curious, what's a water sale look like? Is this like
I've
an
never been to one.
is this what does the transaction appear like?
They don't sell it like that. It's not like you go to the store and there's.
Commodity trading, I understand, but
I'm
just
just like
describe it for
dying
me.
here thinking
Describe it
about
for
what a
me.
water sale would look like physically.
I've been to one actually. There was an auction that I went to in 2014 during the terrible drought, but it's by contract. It's super boring, Jordan. I'm so sorry to tell you, but it's super, super boring. It's by contract. And in fact, a friend of mine in the water business was like, he wanted to create like a sort of a NASDAQ kind of thing that was out there on the internet. Here's water for sale here. Here's water for sale. Here's water for sale there. And then you, as the seller or the buyer, you just pick and choose, you know, like, oh, here, I'll take a pound of that. I'll take a cup of that. But it doesn't really exist as far as I know. I mean, you know, it's all people put it out there. Oh, like during the drought, Boswell had extra Kings River water and why Westlands bought it. But it's like they all know each other, right? So they're all in the same meeting. So they all talk about this kind of stuff and they do it by contract. It's not very exciting.
How do you think that AI data centers entering the Valley water chat could mess with water markets? And maybe you could explain also what water markets are to people who don't understand them.
California. I don't know. There have been a lot of people who've tried to come in and do water markets in California, and right now the big talk in Sigma is groundwater markets, but they've never really gotten off the ground because the water rights and ownership and movement is so fractured in California. So it's not like you can be in San Diego and say, oh, I have this, let's say I'm a developer and I have this development and I need however much water. Let me go hunt around and find some water and then go buy it from, say, a rice farmer in Northern California and get it. There's so many hurdles in between those two things that it's hard to have a quote open market in California. Like I said, it all depends on how are you within a system that can trade and exchange and move water so that you can do those kinds of things. Okay. Remember when Trump ordered Lake Success
Yes.
to open, or was Cahuilla? It was Cahuilla. It was Lake Cahuilla. I'm going to get water to these fires in LA. Okay. I will tell you because so many people were like, oh, that can't even happen. That can't even happen. Yes, it actually could happen. You could physically get water from Lake Cahuilla to these fires. You could physically do it. That's not impossible. The state of California is very highly plumbed. There's so many different ways of conveyance. But you would have to, first of all, the water comes out of Lake Cahuilla, and it was through the Army Corps of Engineers, which owns the dam at Lake Cahuilla, that said, oh, we're going to go ahead and open the gates here because you're above the flood encroachment. And okay, the Army Corps of Engineers and Trump can do that. Once it leaves that lake, it no longer belongs to them. It never did. It belongs to the farmers and the water districts in Cahuilla Subbasin in Tulare County. So those guys would then have to go, okay, we're going to go ahead and agree to move some of this water and we'll move it down the Bryant-Kern Canal, which then you have to get a permit from the Bureau of Reclamation and you have to get capacity and all of the other contractors have to go, okay, you can take some of our capacity through that. And then you would have to get it into the Cross Valley Canal, which is owned by the Kern County Water Agency. All the different districts there would have to agree and you have to get a permit to, and by the way, you're paying fees this whole way. To get that water, which would take it west to the California Aqueduct. And then you'd have to go through the State Department of Water Resources to get a permit and to get some sort of capacity to move it up over the Grapevine and down into the LA area. I don't know where I'm going with this, except for to explain to you that it can happen. People were like, oh, for some reason, the LA Times was like, this water that he just released would have to go out onto the Tulare Lake and then move. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Willis? That is not how it would work at all. Anyway. So it can happen. Water can move.
I can understand why they misunderstand. This is so complicated, and there's
Stay
so
out of
many.
my valley, LA Times.
Yeah, I should ask you.
So I guess on that point of just the regulatory layers that are involved in water transfers and water sales, do you think that with, and this is obviously a speculative question, but I'm just curious, do you feel like with tech companies entering our water chat if we'll start to see some of the same politics that we're seeing in housing. Just eliminate all the bureaucracy, eliminate red tape, make it as easy as possible to transfer water wherever you want, or how will that go?
Heck no. Hell no. Because again, I've told this to so many people. I'm like, we all want to feel like there should be greater democratization of water. It's a natural resource, and it should be owned by all of us and blah, 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 until you have a piece of it. And then you're holding on to it for dear life. And unless the state of California nationalizes water rights, those water rights go back 135 years, and no one is cutting loose with them if they're surface water rights. And nobody is cutting loose with, you would have to change the Constitution of California, because even groundwater is associated with your, it's a property right. I own the groundwater under my house because I own this land. Now, I'd have to pump it up, and there's a whole other thing to go with it. But if Silicon Valley wants to play in water, believe me, the water managers here would not, no. They would not come in with their big checkbook and like grease the skids and say, oh, there's no CEQA anymore, there's no rights anymore, it's all about money. And no, it just wouldn't work.
Do you think that we might see some tensions between the farmers or water managers and tech as tech enters the valley?
Yeah, when I was talking to some friends about this just the other day, when after you and I first talked, I heard from some people who were saying, oh, and these are ag guys. They were saying agriculture is just wanting to put up a big smoke screen about this because they want to basically keep all the marbles for themselves. In fact, AI, like a data center, wouldn't be any worse than, or any greater water consumption than 500 acres of almonds. It was interesting. It was an ag guy who was saying that it was BS that there's this kind of pushback. But there is going to be a pushback, and there is going to be tension. But like I said, once, and a couple of other people that I talked to, like from Westlands initially, were just very, oh, what? Oh, get out of our playground. Oh, and then they were like, wait a minute, a deal could be made here. Let me think about this. And we're talking about $1,000 an acre foot. It's not really that much water. We could do that. So I don't think big tech could come in and change the playground so the rules benefited them. I do think there's going to be tension until the checkbook comes out, and then you'll see deals being made. But they will not, it will be deals for use. It will not be deals for ownership. Just like
Explain that.
leasing the water versus whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to sell them rights. The last person I know who sold rights was John Vidovich, and he sold his rights out of Dudley Ridge to State Water Project Water and made a buttload of money.
Wasn't
And
that when he sold it to LA, basically?
yeah, to Mojave Water District.
And
And
that went really well with the farming community.
yeah, Hanford, all of him, he's the most hated man in Kings County. And to a certain extent, still is. And he has told me in the past, although he's not speaking to me anymore, I'm really upset about it, has told me in the past that he would not make that deal again. That
Really?
he might sell use. You can use the water for however long, like a 35-year contract or whatever, but not the rights.
So, as these things move from the abstract to deals being made, what should we be like watching for and in observing the news on this subject? What are signals for you in terms of these are big moments or big transfers happening? Like, what should we be looking for?
Now, that's hard to, that's just, you have to go to each individual meeting and try and keep your ear to the ground with like sources and stuff. Water is so underground. You really have to just be there constantly, going to these meetings and talking to people and trying to figure stuff out. I didn't know about this thing until Donnie told me about this from out of Forbes, and the water managers I talked to hadn't even heard about it. So it's just a crazy world with the water world. I'm telling you, just it's
And it's
impossible. I don't
hard.
know why I picked this as a thing to cover.
Because it's
It's
abstruse. That's why we need you to cover it, because it's
Yeah.
so hard to decipher. It's
It's fun
horrible.
though. But this is really abstract, and we only knew about it because of what the CEO of High Speed Rail told Forbes. And then it turns out there was a Reuters story that came out in May that my story linked to. And apparently the one of the PG&E executives on a recent earnings call was talking about just they're seeing demand, they're hearing about demand for AI data centers and tried to plan for that in their grid, and had mentioned that there was a proposal already under development in the Fresno area. I wish we knew about it, but the city of Fresno has revoked our access to their public access portal on development projects, so we can't
What?
find out those things anymore. Yeah. That's a whole other story.
We close these podcasts normally with what we're loving this week, but in honor of Lois, we're going to have a new segment called What We're Annoyed With by this week. And I'm going to go ahead and start. I am annoyed because we're about to enter the football season with the Dallas Cowboys. They
That's
have,
low-hanging fruit right there.
let me explain. Jerry Jones is famous for dragging things out for a very long time. He's the owner of the Cowboys. It's usually related to contract disputes. And there was a big one this summer with their star defensive player. And they also had a Netflix documentary come out, and it was just like a parade of media attention. And then he totally bungled the contract negotiation and then just had to trade the player this week. And I am just tired of this guy running a team that his whole objective is to keep them in the news as long as possible. And then he's at the same time so totally incompetent, and we just have to watch it. And I'm annoyed by it. That's what I'm annoyed with this week. Donnie, what are you annoyed with this week?
Well, I was more prepared for what we're loving because Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce got engaged. So I was very much
No,
loving it.
you have to be annoyed with something this week.
Okay, fine. I'm annoyed by bees. And my husband got stung by a bee this week in my house because there was like a beehive nested in my wall. We thought we had gotten rid of it, but we hadn't entirely. And so there were like bees creeping in between my window casement into my kitchen, and my husband had the grand idea of trying to swing at one with a saucepan, and the bee like kamikazed onto his forehead. And turns out my husband has developed, as a 40-something man, a very severe bee allergy that he never had before. So I was at the ER this week with him to get his epi shot. So I don't like
You're going to get the ER a lot.
this was my sixth time in 2025. Now it's free because I've been so many times and I recognize all the staff. Thank you, Kaiser.
That's not good.
No.
To say.
But I still, I guess Kaiser has still been great. So positive. Okay.
Annoyed with bees, happy with Kaiser.
Yeah.
Lois, what about you? What are you annoyed with this
Oh my
week?
God, the list is endless, Jordan.
What's the top of the list? Give me the top.
Today it's PostNet.
Okay.
Today it's PostNet. I went to go mail something. And my husband made me go because he finds it more convenient to go there than the post office. And I had my package labeled and everything, and I've never been there before. So they want to know like my phone number, my name, my address, my phone number again. What's in the pack? Finally, I was like, you know, give me that. I'll just go to the post office. What? I'm not gonna, and it's more expensive than the post office. So my parting shot was, I'm not gonna pay you people to blank me off.
Is
Yeah,
this
I
the
would.
future the privatizing post office people want?
I guess I'm like, and they were
Yeah.
like, if you answer all these questions, it'll be in our system. And I was like, I don't want to be in your system. I just want to send my package.
They want to
No
sell your data,
phone.
Lois. They want to sell it to somebody. I'd rather wait in a long line than to get a pat down like that from a
Yeah.
post person. No, thank you.
And they were just shocked by my annoyance. Like, it's because I'm not a millennial. Sorry, no offense, millennials, but you guys are just way too used to sharing too much information.
We are. We just hit that agree to all terms without thinking about it. That's what we do.
And I need a disagree button just because I like to disagree on everything, or just a disagreeable button.
The person that then, like, when it's, do you want to accept all cookies every single time? You're like, no, I want to manage my cookies.
Yeah. No, I accept all just because I'm also lazy.
Okay, fair
But I'm
enough.
not so lazy that I'm going to pay the PostNet people exorbitant amounts of money to ask me. It was so funny when she was like, and what's in the package? And I was like, nothing that you need to know about. little
My husband was
intrusive.
standing there just like, oh God, why did I bring you in here? You're embarrassing.
Like, you want to know what's in that package? A whole lot of nunya. Yeah. Big old chunk of nunya.
I'm entertained. Thanks, Lois.
Oh.
I have to call my friends and ask them all the time, am I a blank hole? I'm trying not to swear, so am I a... Most
Good times.
of the time they say yes, and I'm like, oh, that's fair.
This has been Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom. And this podcast was recorded at Sun Stereo Warehouse in downtown Fresno. Audio editing and mixing was done by Jordan Maddox. Our lead image comes from Vaughn Ballinan. And our song comes from Stateless Rat.